This is the August 2023 edition of Review, the Journal of Blind Veterans UK.
The 2024 Birmingham International Tattoo. We invite you to join us at Britain's biggest indoor tattoo, the 2024 Birmingham International Tattoo, on Sunday, the 11th of February, at the Resorts World Arena. An event unlike any other, the 2024 Birmingham International Tattoo brings together marching bands, pipes and drums, field gun racing and much, much more. There will also be a spectacular grand finale featuring over 1,000 performers. We have a limited number of subsidised platinum tickets for our registered blind veterans who would like to come along to enjoy the show together with their fellow blind veterans. Please book your place using the form on our website, which is at blindveterans.org.uk/tattoo. You can also call us on 0300 111 2233. Once booked online, our customer services team will be in touch within 5 working days to take your payment over the phone. Please note that due to popular demand, we can only offer up to 2 tickets per blind veteran. Travel to the venue and accommodation is not included, and these tickets are not wheelchair accessible. For more information, visit the event site at bhamtattoo.com/, and the ticket price is £10 per ticket.
Open conversations. CEO Adrian Bell reflects on the conversations he has had with members since starting with the charity in April this year and provides updates on important projects. I'm really enjoying meeting with many of you on my travels and hearing from you on your thoughts about the charity. I have been fortunate enough to enjoy a part of the military week at Llandudno and the same at Brighton, and attend both military dinners, as well as attend a members' lunch in Cwmbwan. I have really enjoyed these visits and, as ever, learnt a lot from all involved and would like to thank you for your openness and honesty and for taking the time to speak with me. Thank you. I was also very fortunate to be invited to Ray Hazan's memorial service at Brighton recently, which was a truly wonderful affair. Although I never had the privilege of meeting Ray, our past president, it was obvious just how much he was loved and respected by all. It was a truly wonderful and moving service in which his sons gave the most warm, heartfelt and amusing eulogies, in which they made clear just how much the charity meant to Ray and his family. I have also heard from many about just how much Ray did for them. What a great man. In my visits and conversations, I also hear a lot from you about a number of broad-ranging issues, which include regional social gatherings, your relationship with staff and volunteers, accessibility, and wider societal issues. Many of these I cannot answer immediately, mainly because I lack prior knowledge of the issues, but do please bear with me as I'm looking at them and will report back in due course. The move to Rustington also comes up a lot, and we communicated last month that we will be taking a phased approach to that opening. Partly, I want to ensure that refurbishment works are complete, or as near complete as possible, before our permanent residents move in, and also to manage the recruitment, training and induction of all the new staff for the centre. I'm working with Head of Centre, Leslie Garvin, on what we will be able to offer this year, even though it will be extremely limited for visitors. However, I would reassure you all that we will have a full programme of events from Christmas onwards. We will update you shortly. Finally, one very important societal issue I must raise with you is that of the proposed closure of ticket offices at the UK's railway stations. We are a member of the Visual Impairment Charity Sector Partnership, alongside seven other UK sight loss charities. We have signed a joint letter from the partnership to the Secretary of State for Transport, expressing our concerns. This was sent on Monday 10th July and asked for 1. A meeting with the Minister, Hugh Merriman. 2. A pause on the consultation. 3. That when any consultation on the modernisation of the railway happens, it should be truly accessible. 4. A detailed update on the Rail Accessibility Action Plan as promised in 2019. Without sight of this and clarity on the plans, the closure of ticket offices would be premature. And 5. And that, given the involvement and sign-off of government in this process, we would expect that the Department for Transport would carry out equality impact assessments and that these should be published immediately. We further sought assurances that the government and the train operators will abide by the result of the consultation. I will keep you all updated on progress. I very much look forward to meeting more of you as I continue my travels around the country over the course of the summer. News. Ray Hazan's Memorial. We know many of our members would have liked to attend our former president, Ray Hazan's memorial at the Brighton Centre in June, to pay their respects to him and his family. The service encapsulated Ray's spirit. Beautiful, humorous and heartfelt. Now, you can watch a recording of Ray's service. Please contact your local community team for help with that. Founders Awards Ceremony 2023. In last month's issue of Review, we published the list of our Founders Awards nominees. We're pleased to be able to share details of the Founders Awards Ceremony this year, which will be held at the Llandudno Centre in October. All nominees and their nominators have been invited. For those who are unable to attend in person, we will be doing a live video stream of the ceremony, meaning everyone can watch and be involved from the comfort of their own home. The Founders Awards were held annually prior to the COVID-19 pandemic in recognition of the first 16 war-blinded veterans welcomed by Sir Arthur Pearson in 1915 to our training centre at St Dunstan's Lodge in London's Regent's Park. We are very excited to host the Founders Awards ceremony again after 3 years of being unable to. Questionnaire, how are you feeling? Blind Veterans UK is keen to understand how our veterans are doing at the moment. How are you feeling in yourself? We want to know if you've already accessed services out there that are supporting you with your mental health and well-being, or if you'd feel more comfortable accessing this support from Blind Veterans UK or a partner organisation. To gain a better understanding, Blind Veterans UK would hugely value your views to inform us on how we can better support you in this area. The questionnaire is anonymous, fully confidential, and will take you under 5 minutes to complete. The questionnaire can be found on our website, www.blindveterans.org.uk/wellbeing. Alternatively, members can request a link to the questionnaire is emailed to them by their community team or via our member support hub. To request this, please either contact your community team or the member support hub by calling 01273 391 447 or emailing mesh, M-E-S-H, at blindveterans.org.uk. NHS Veterans Health Services. Op Courage is the NHS mental health specialist service designed to help serving personnel due to leave the military, reservists, armed forces veterans and their families. Up Courage can help you and your family with a range of support and treatment, from helping you transition from military to civilian life, to liaising with charities and local organisations to support your wider health and well-being need, such as help with housing, relationships, finances and employment. In line with launching this new service, the Veterans Trauma Network has now been renamed Op Restore, following engagement with other veterans, providers and charities. Op Restore uses a network of both civilian and military consultants, along with welfare support from military charities, to support a veteran's physical health using an holistic approach. UK COVID Inquiry. The UK COVID Inquiry wants to hear people's experiences of the pandemic and is running a large-scale listening exercise. The main way to do this at present is to submit experiences via a survey form link on the following page. covid19.public-inquiry.uk/every-story-matters/. For those who cannot go online, there will be paper versions available. Later this year, we plan to open a phone line to help people who wish to share their stories but find it harder to do so online. These accessible versions will be launched throughout the summer. Paper versions of the online form are available from the public inquiry directly. Email contact@covid19.public-inquiry.uk or write to Free Post, UK COVID-19 Public Inquiry. As well as the survey, there will be other strands to the listening exercise, including in-person events around the UK, dates and locations to come. There will also be some piloting of specific activities to reach particular communities, such as residents of care homes.
Celebrating Armed Forces Day around the country. On Saturday, the 24th of June, members across the country celebrated Armed Forces Day. Armed Forces Day is an opportunity for people to come together and show their support for those who make up the armed forces community, including serving members of the military, reservists, veterans, cadets, and their families. Staff, volunteers and members, as well as our supporters, attended events in Wales, Northern Ireland, Scotland and England. The Welsh city of Newport played host to this year's celebration, which included a parade through the streets of the city centre and a military concert at the Welsh Rugby Union Stadium. Our community leader for the area, Fionn Davies, said our veterans had a fantastic time and loved being involved in the day, especially the military concert at the Rodney Parade Stadium, which is home to the Dragons rugby team. A special thank you to the team who kindly gave our veterans their chairman's box so they could shelter from the heat of the day. In Plymouth, we had an information stand within the Veterans Village area alongside other charities and organisations to offer advice, information and support to veterans and their families. Local community team leader Aaron Garrett said, "It was an extremely hot and busy day, but it was fantastic to be part of the event. The charity's supporters were also involved in the action. In North Wales, the West Conwy volunteer police cadets set themselves a challenge to walk 6 miles from Colwyn Bay Pier to Llandudno Pier. The group raised between 13 and 18 years old raised £404 for Blind Veterans UK. Participants from this year's Veterans Banger Rally, which is taking place in September, were also out and about at events collecting money for Blind Veterans UK. The Banger Rally challenges teams of 2 to 4 people, one of whom must be a veteran, to buy a car for less than £1,000 and work together to jazz it up. They will then use their mechanical skills and a bit of determination to hopefully travel 1,500 miles across Europe to Gibraltar. Did you spot us in London? Last month, we launched a new campaign across the capital for Armed Forces Day, a series of billboards displaying portraits of veterans on huge digital screens. The emotive photographs feature 9 of our members who lost their sight in conflicts, including the Falklands, Northern Ireland, Iraq and Afghanistan. One member, Simon Brown, lost his sight when he was shot through the face by a sniper while leading a mission to recover 6 stranded colleagues in Iraq. Simon says, "Remembrance is an important time of year when we commemorate those we've lost. Armed Forces Day gives us the opportunity to celebrate those who are still with us and put themselves in danger to protect us." These portraits highlight both the tragedy and triumph of our veterans in service and recovery. I'm proud to be a part of this campaign to show service personnel and veterans that we'll be here for them when they need us. The charity worked with award-winning photographer Richard Cannon to capture the images. Richard says it was an honour to photograph these heroes who gave so much for their country. When deciding on how to approach the portraits of the blind veterans, I wanted to give them a sense of pride and presence in the final image. So I shot them slightly below the eye line to give them a more powerful look. I hope the viewer will feel a sense of respect and admiration for these brave individuals. The campaign directs members of the public to our website at blindveterans.org.uk so they can read the stories of all members featured.
Veterans Games bring soldiers together. Member Andy Leach tells us all about his experience representing Blind Veterans UK this summer in the Veterans Games hosted in Tel Aviv, Israel. What a week representing Blind Veterans UK at the Veterans Games with 6 other members and their families alongside other military charities. These games started in 2019 for wounded, sick and injured ex-forces personnel of the British Forces and Israeli Defence Force and their families. With very little sleep on the plane to Israel, we arrived to a very warm welcome of heat as the plane doors opened. We arrived at a fantastic hotel positioned on the beachfront of Tel Aviv and after checking in tried to grab a little sleep before the first of the meet and greets from our amazing hosts. We then had our first meeting with Israel's veterans at their magnificent rehabilitation centre, Beit Haloshem, translated Home of the Warrior, as they hosted the opening ceremony with fine food and drink and made us all feel truly welcome. This is where we would compete against them over the next 3 hard long days. Over the next few days, the team split off to compete in swimming, shooting and CrossFit. On the second day, we were joined by the MP, Johnny Mercer, currently Minister of State for Veterans Affairs, who had been watching the competitions. We had the pleasure of having him present us with our medals, and we can happily say the Blind Veterans UK group were able to bag quite a few of them. When we weren't competing, we managed to enjoy exploring Tel Aviv, as well as an abundance of food and drink. One of our last adventures out involved participating in a remembrance service where we all paid tribute to those that never made it home. As we walked around the graves, we couldn't help but notice some of their ages. One was only 14, making us all reflect on what we have in common across all military groups. On the last day of the Games, all teams entered a tug of war, box runs and a small circuit, which was just great fun, thanks to our leader Craig's encouragement. Loads of photos were taken, followed by medals and a little bit of singing. The games were rounded off with a closing ceremony hosted at the amazing Yitzhak Rabin Centre, one of Israel's newest museums, with international acclaimed architecture and panoramic views of the city. We listened to speeches from our Israeli host and our own veterans, who reflected on the motto of the Games, uniting extraordinary people. We said goodbye and thank you to our hosts and friends for the week that shared their part of the world with us all. As I look back over all the pictures taken that week, the Games chat group, and my thoughts whilst writing this, I reflect on what a life experience we all have just had. For a while, I've hidden behind my family and a small group of friends where I know I'm comfortable in my surroundings. But the Veterans Games, being with other veterans with different disabilities, has shown me that if you remove the dis from disabilities, then you have the abilities to do whatever you want. You might need to adapt, but just give anything a go. You never know, you may just have the best time of your life. My Battle of Atlanta Week. Member Ruth Warren, 87, describes her recent stay at our centre in Llandudno. I'm just back from 8 days away at Llandudno, having been there for military week. It was the 80th anniversary of the Battle of the Atlantic, and as my father served in the Merchant Navy and latterly the Royal Navy, I wanted to represent him there. This is my diary of the week. Sunday. I was picked up by a lovely driver, Charlie, who didn't mind that I had extra luggage, including a dress bag, as well as a case. The journey was very pleasant, and although I felt apprehensive, I was put at ease by our wonderful driver. When we arrived at the centre, it was like coming home. The welcome was warm and everyone was pleased to see us. We were orientated to our rooms and shown all the gadgetry before afternoon tea and coming together as a group. We then all met up at supper time and it was nice to be reacquainted with an old friend. Monday. We started the day with World War II cooking, making Anzac biscuits, then took part in a military music quiz, which was great fun, and made Navy knots, tying bends and hitches. There was plenty of laughter and banter. It was a great kick-off to the week. Tuesday. A trip to Liverpool to the Maritime Museum, which was very interesting. Having not been to Liverpool for some years, it was also very nostalgic. We had lunch on HMS Eaglet, and there was evening entertainment for those who still had the energy, assisted by the Sea Cadets. Wednesday. This was World War II Weapons Stands Day, including a private collection and talk. Such a good insight into what was available in the 40s. We then had a super time dressing up in Navy uniforms. It was very educational and there were lots of giggles. In the afternoon, we enjoyed a 40s tea dance, which was a great success, dressing up in themed attire and dancing the afternoon away. A wonderful atmosphere with plenty of camaraderie and entertainment running on into the evening. Thursday. We went to the Air World Aviation Museum and the town's HM Coast Guard helicopter station, which was great fun. Then it was Remembrance Evening, which was incredibly moving, again with fantastic company. Dinner, as usual, was excellent. Friday. We played Navy games, including deck hockey and bucketball, which involved lots of hysterical laughter and not so many bashed ankles. We then learnt about the origins of naval expressions, took part in a military quiz, and enjoyed evening music with a live performer. Saturday. As this was a free day, I went into Llandudno with the boys. Great fun. Sunday. We set off early for the Battle of Atlantic Parade in Liverpool. Princess Anne took the salute and lots of naval personnel were there. The pavements en route were crowded and I have never felt so proud to march again in the city of my birth. The first time I marched there I was 17 and a half years old. Who could have believed that 70 years later I'd be marching there again? Monday. This was both a happy and a sad day as we all said our goodbyes. What a special week, as it always is in Llandudno. I'm already looking forward to going back again. All in all, this military week was incredible. If you haven't already been, you really should try it sometime.
Our trip of a lifetime. Member Avril Staunton, 68, and her husband Michael share their experience of the Camino de Santiago pilgrimage. Member Avril Staunton and her husband Michael have recently walked the 400-mile-long Camino de Santiago pilgrimage. The pilgrimage was something the couple always promised to do. However, Avril, who has deteriorating eyesight, was recently diagnosed with a rare form of dementia, so Michael was determined to do it sooner rather than later, even despite problems of his own. Avril enlisted into the British Army in 1975 after studying medicine at Liverpool University. She spent most of her service in Germany and was discharged in 1981 with the rank of captain. In 2000, she returned to England and married Michael, who had also served in the armed forces before becoming a civilian medical officer with the Royal Marines. Back in the UK, Avril worked as a GP and set up a gynaecologist centre in Bridgewater. Michael says one of the first signs of Avril's dementia was sight loss. In around 2010, we noticed she was beginning to have difficulty seeing the keys on her laptop properly and then began to have small scrapes in the car as her spatial awareness deteriorated. Over time, Avril has become more confused and often mistakes one object for another, for example, a knife with a spoon. One day, we were taking the dog to the groomers and Avril entered the hairdresser's next door and handed over the dog, explaining she'd be back in 2 hours. We treat the misunderstandings and confusion with humour. It's all we can do. I've always promised I would take her on this adventure. None of us know how long we've got, and with Avril's sight deteriorating, it wasn't an option to leave it any longer. The couple chose to walk the Camino Francis route to reach Santiago de Compostela, also known as the French Way, and set off at the end of April. Michael says the full route took us 6 weeks to complete, and in that time we only took 2 days off from walking. Most days we would start at 6 a.m. before the day became too hot. We visited some incredibly beautiful places along the way. When we set off, it was spring, and we walked past striking poppy fields. I thought of the great uncle I'd never met, who fell at Flanders Field, and we thought of all those who have gone before us. We really took our time to take in the different shades of colour as we walked the greens of the grasses and the hedges, the yellows of the different fields of wheat. I described everything to Avril as we went. The walk was not without its challenges. We had some extremely sad news from home in May. Avril wanted to be back at home with her family, but after much discussion and support from her brother back home, we stuck with it. Avril is incredibly physically fit, but I miscalculated my own fitness level, and after about a month, I started to get tired, especially after consecutive 30-kilometre days, but I knew we had to keep going. Michael now hopes to make the walk an annual event in order to raise money for the world's first ever centre for rare dementias, which will provide support, education and research for healthcare professionals. He aims to arrange for others who have been diagnosed with rare forms of dementia to take on the Camino de Santiago pilgrimage, this time along the Camino Engeles route, which, though still incredibly beautiful, is less physically challenging.
Making the most of my life. After losing his sight in Afghanistan, Inspiring member John Dawson, 34, shares his incredible journey. At just 23 years old, Guardsman John Dawson was shot in the head in Afghanistan. He lost his right eye and thought he wouldn't walk again. 11 years on, and John, who is now 34, has recently spent a week participating in an extensive wellbeing programme at Llandudno, joining in with boxing, air rifle shooting, archery and more. John joined the Grenadier Guards in 2009 when he was 18. He trained at Catterick Barracks and spent a year guarding the royal palaces before he was told the news that he would be deployed to Afghanistan. I didn't know what to do when I left school and decided to join the army, as that would be a solid career and I'd travel the world. Well, it turned out to be an extremely short career, but I don't regret my decision to join. When I was told I was going to Afghanistan, I was happy to go. It was my job and what I'd trained for. But I had a feeling I'd be injured. I just didn't know how. In 2012, while on duty protecting the locals in Helmand province from the Taliban, John was shot in the head by a sniper. My friend had been guarding the roof and I took over from him so he could get some food. I'd only been up there 10 minutes when I was shot. The impact threw me across the roof. My friend ran up to find me and thought I was dead due to my injuries. John has no memory of what happened next, but now knows he was rescued from the roof by helicopter, which was under enemy fire. He was transported to Camp Bastion, where he was stabilised before being flown back to Bryce Norton and cared for at Queen Elizabeth Hospital, where he remained in a coma for 6 weeks. I underwent reconstruction surgery as I'd lost the right-hand side of my skull, and along with that, my right eye got left behind on that roof in Afghanistan. I had a titanium plate fitted and a prosthetic eye. A doctor from Headley Court visited John and told him there was a space for him there where he could be rehabilitated. I was at Headley Court for 2 years. To start with, I couldn't walk, talk, speak, or eat. I had to learn to do all those things again. In the early days, I was incredibly angry and would try and run the nurses down in my wheelchair. I couldn't make sense of what was happening to me. I'm in a much better place now. I have my down days, but I had friends that lost their lives in Afghanistan. I was one of the lucky ones that got to come home. I have to deal with the cards I was dealt and make the most of my life. I still have my left eye and I've been able to see my two children grow up. I won't let what happened define who I am. Stays at Llandudno have given me a chance to recharge my batteries, and the help I've been given with technology has made my life so much easier in my flat. The Amazon Alexa I have helps me to stay in touch with my children. And my community support worker, Anne, is always on the end of the phone if I need her. I'm so happy that I have Blind Veterans UK in my corner. Nothing is too much trouble for the staff, and the other veterans are fantastic. I'll definitely be back at one of the centres for another stay soon.
We can't wait to go back. New member, Michelle Campbell, started identifying as a transgender woman around 20 years ago. Here she writes about her first ever week in Llandudno. I was in the RAF in the 70s and started identifying as a woman many years ago, but only recently came out on social media. What really surprised me was that some ex-military Facebook sites, usually awash with banter and crude humour, have been nothing but welcoming. The military community can be surprisingly accepting and adaptable. I have glaucoma and joined Blind Veterans UK earlier this year. In April, my partner, carer Brian, and I enjoyed our first week ever at the Llandudno Centre, and I stayed there throughout as Michelle. we would usually find going on holiday quite daunting, what with Brian's mobility issues and my vision impairment, but going to the centre made it so easy and enjoyable that we can't wait to go back as soon as possible. Before we'd even arrived, we were impressed by the comfortable transport there, driven by attentive and professional staff. On arrival, our baggage was whisked away to our large, airy, bright and clean room, which I'm told had a fine view over Llandino and the sea. I'm always happy when I'm near the sea. The staff at the centre were delightful. Everyone treated me as Michelle from the moment I arrived to the moment I left. What more could I want? Blind Veterans UK made me feel as welcome as I hope and trust everyone is made to feel. I was particularly impressed that no one singled me out for any kind of special consideration beyond my disability. This is exactly what I'd hoped for. It meant a lot to me that the staff were so natural, accepting and, frankly, just completely ordinary with me. And yet, they occasionally had the kindness to compliment me on a dress or something. On the first night at dinner time, I noticed that there were two place cards for me, one saying Michael and the other one saying Michelle. As a transgender woman, I was quite touched by this gesture, as I do identify with both names. I think this level of care is typical of the way the staff at the centre look after their guests. On one occasion, Brian and I were going out into the town, and on our way out, we noticed that a seam on my dress had unravelled. I went to the reception to ask for a safety pin, and when one couldn't be found, Gaynor, one of the reception team, went into the craft centre for a needle and thread. She came back and stitched the seam for me before I went out. Such a caring service. Everyone at the Llandudno Centre wants to help. If you're unsure of where you're going, a member of staff will always appear to ask what can be done to help you. Nothing seems to be at any trouble. One of the biggest pleasures of the stay was sitting at the dinner table and in the bar exchanging experiences and insights with other people with glaucoma. On top of this, the town of Llandudno was something of a surprise. We couldn't remember the last time we'd seen such a clean and attractive town. I should also add that, judging by the stairs, I may well have been the first trans woman ever to have been seen there.
Member Voice. Our member engagement team updates you on the latest opportunities and upcoming events. Your voices are important to us, and this month we would like you to share your experience and stories from your military careers. We would like to hear from members with a national service, regular or reservist background, with a great story to tell. Your member engagement officer, Billy Baxter, would like to hear from you directly. It's important we celebrate our pasts, so it is there to be remembered in the future. Please contact billy.baxter@blindveterans.org.uk. Member engagement events. These military related events are an opportunity to meet up with other members. 10th of September 2023, Help for Heroes Community Games in Loughborough. 22nd of September 2023, HMS Raleigh Pass Out in Cornwall. 19th of October 2023, RAF Cranwell Pass Out, RAF Cranwell. 11th of November 2023, the Union Jack Club Engagement Event in London. 12th of November 2023, Cenotaph Parade in London. 23rd of November 2023, HMS Tamar PT Pass Out in Portsmouth, and the 11th of February 2024, the Birmingham International Tattoo in Birmingham. To register your interest to attend any of these events, please contact your community teams for further support. Forces Fact. Flagheads is a term used by the army to describe lancer regiments and lancers. The term comes from the thin lances contained within the cap badge or motto. The only current flagheads are the Royal Lancers. And that was sent in by Rob Loosby. This month in history. August the 2nd, 2023, marks the 33rd anniversary of the start of the Gulf War, when Saddam Hussein invaded his small, oil-rich neighbour in the summer of 1990. The world faced its first full-scale, post-Cold War international crisis. Military slang. Gleaming. Commonly used term by all servicemen and women to describe something that is good, excellent, or impressive. And that was sent in by Kevin Alderton, member and working age member liaison officer. If you want to share your forces fact, please get in touch via email. Forcesfact, all one word, at blindveterans.org.uk, or contact your community support worker who will be able to submit on your behalf.
National Creative Wellbeing Programme. This month's creative activities you can take part in or from the comfort of your own home. To sign up to or find out more about the following creative activities or hobby circles, simply call 01273 391 447. You can leave a message on our answer machine if you'd just like to request a project pack. All our projects come with VI and reader-friendly instructions, as well as the option of audio on a USB stick if requested. Gardening. Salad leaves. A beautiful and tactile mix of colourful salad leaves, which will brighten up your windowsill and your dinner plate. No need to worry about tiny seeds, as we have stuck them to a tissue paper sheet, so they are nicely spaced and easy to plant. We'll send you some delicious recipe ideas to try as you harvest your crop. Art. Sketchbook for beginners and improvers, August, September and October. For both aspiring and established artists, another exciting selection of challenges to start you off on your drawing journey or enliven your practice. The sketchbook is the foundation of an artist's work, and we've put together a selection of themes to inspire you. You'll receive an A4 spiral-bound sketchbook with carefully chosen high-contrast drawing materials and some materials to add colour to your work. Creative Hobby Circles. Facilitated by the NCWP team and our member volunteers, members with a shared interest meet monthly by Teams, telephone or video call for a chat and to offer ideas, tips and support with ongoing NCWP projects. Gardening, very popular with those who signed up for our gardening projects, a chat group to share the seasons and offer support with VI-friendly gardening indoors and out. Knitting, crochet or weaving for those of you who enjoy a chat about your latest projects with wool. Painting and drawing. If you enjoy doing art, whether just starting out or a seasoned artist, this is the space to chat with other VI artists and exchange ideas, tips and support. Woodwork. For those of you interested in woodwork, wood turning, wooden model making or peer support, tips and encouragement with your wooden model projects. Photography. We have a Facebook page, Blind Veterans UK Photography, and a fortnightly photography chat group. Anyone with an interest in photography is welcome. It's a chance for a chat, and there are regular guest speakers. Thank you to those who have completed and returned the surveys we have been sending out in the NCWP PACs since May. Please continue to do this for each project you do. Your feedback is very important, and we will use it to plan future projects and services. And that's from the National Creative Wellbeing Project team. Opportunity for VI and blind artists. International Drawing Competition for the Visually Impaired. An invitation from Charles Emmanuel Schelfout, President of Art and Low Vision, himself a blind artist. Year after year, the competition has become an effective tool that allows visually impaired people to avoid the trap of boredom and even depression, to create an independent activity and to rediscover lost joys. The finalists' work will be exhibited at the Major Ophthalmology Congress, OB2023, in Brussels, where their authors will be rewarded with magnificent prizes. More can be found on their website at www.artlowvision.com and that's all one word, so artandlowvision.be.
Member stories from our NCWP. Our National Creative Wellbeing Programme has provided opportunities for members to harness their creativity and also develop long-lasting friendships. Here are some of their stories. The best fundraising team. Members Nolene Charlesworth and Muriel Frampton have built a strong bond through the NCWP Knitting Hobby Circle, which is a monthly telephone chat group. They have been virtual friends for 3 years, and a couple of weeks ago they managed finally to meet each other face to face whilst on holiday at the Llandudno Centre, and they had a joyous week together. Wanting to do more than just catch up and relax, Nolene organised a fundraising event. With a table set up in Hogwarts, Nolene asked Muriel to knit some rather marvellous hedgehogs with sweets hidden inside them. Muriel, being such a whiz with the knitting needles, knocked out a fair few hedgehogs, which sold out immediately. What a team. The NCWP Knitting Hobby Circle runs on the third Thursday of each month and is open to any member interested in knitting, crochet, weaving or wool craft. Simply call 01273 391 447 for more information. Oh, play that thing. Member Steve Thompson tells us how the NCWP has helped him in different ways and encourages other members to give it a go. I'm very proud to be a member of Blind Veterans UK, and they have helped me a lot over the years. One of the things I've enjoyed the most is the National Creative Project, especially during the pandemic. They provided a much needed distraction and a focus for my creativity during lockdown. I think I've done most of the art and craft projects, as I've always been interested in art. My other loves are jazz music and theatre. I used to be a jazz critic for my local paper in Guernsey. I like to draw and paint and have used jazz as an inspiration for my artworks. I was lucky enough to see the great Chet Baker at Ronnie Scott's in London, and for a while I hosted my own jazz show on local BBC radio and once did a talk at the Blind Veterans UK Brighton Centre. Sadly, I lost my amazing wife Kate in January this year. As you can imagine, I've been devastated by this, and I'm still coming to terms with life without her. For a while, I no longer felt like doing anything creative, as I felt overwhelmed by grief. My wife was my everything, and I'm still feeling lost without her. However, I do believe in the power of art and music to heal, and have started to paint and draw again. By focusing on something like music, painting or a drawing, you are shifting the focus away from your grief just for a few moments, and this can be a positive thing. I can quite literally get lost in jazz music and in art. I genuinely believe it has the power to help you through the tough times. I would encourage anyone to have a go at the project, as you don't have to be an expert to enjoy it. Some of the artwork produced and published in the review each month is amazing, but what really matters is the taking part. As the joke goes, a person was walking in Columbia Square in New York. They approached five jazz musicians and asked them how to get to Carnegie Hall. And one man replied, "Practice, practice, practice."
Carer's Review. A page dedicated to the families and friends who care for our members, Stacey Barham shares the latest opportunities and useful information to support you in your caring role. In honour of Carers Week last month, we want to recognise the support that is needed for unpaid carers. The pandemic has made a difference to us all and in some cases has amplified the difficulties that carers face on a daily basis. The theme for Carers Week in 2023 was recognising and supporting carers in the community. With this in mind, I thought I would highlight some of the useful organisations that can help you locally. Local carer centres and support organisations. Many organisations offer support over the telephone, online or by visiting you at home, but there are also carers centres in some cities. For example, in the South East, there is Care for the Carers in East Sussex or Carers Support East Kent. On the other side of the country, in the South West, there is Cornwall Carers Service. To find out what support you can access locally, you can use the two following websites. First one, www.carersuk.org, and the Carers UK is all one word, carersuk.org/help-and-advice/our-local-directory/. The other one is www.gov.uk/find-local-council. Blind Veterans UK Support. We're not just here for our blind veterans, we're also here for those who care for our members day in, day out. We understand how difficult it can be for spouses, partners and family members when someone loses their sight. We offer advice and support to help you adjust to looking after someone with a vision impairment. We also make sure that you're caring for yourself too and connect you with other carers who share similar experiences so you can share your story and learn from others. To make this happen, we organise carers' breaks at the centres as well as events and coffee mornings in your local area through your community teams. If you would like to see how you could connect with other carers, please contact your local community team. Carers and Families Engagement Panel. Are you a carer to a Blind Veterans UK member? Then why not get involved in shaping the support you receive from the charity by joining our Carers and Families Engagement Panel? The panel meets once a month to discuss the needs and experiences of our carers and suggest ideas for special activities and how we can best share valuable information with one another. Anyone who is a family member, partner or friend caring for one of our members or assisting with them with day-to-day activities is welcome to join. Simply contact Stacey Barham on 01273 391 483 or at Stacey, and that's STACEY, .Barham, BARHAM, at blindveterans.org.uk.
Quiz time. Our quizmaster, Ron Russell, tests your general knowledge. There are 10 questions. I will read out each question, pause, and then give you the answer. So, question one. What paper size shares its name with a road from Bristol to London? And the answer is A4. Number two. Which company created the Kinder Egg? A. Nestle, B. Ferrero, C. Cadbury. And the answer is Ferrero. Question three. What does the acronym AKA stand for? The answer, also known as. Question four. On its maiden voyage, the Great Western sailed from which location? A. Bristol, B. Dover, C. Southampton. And the answer, A. Bristol. Question five. What is the record for how many hot dogs can be eaten in 10 minutes? Is it A, 36, B, 68, C, 76? And the answer is C, 76. Question six. In which sport could you have a Fosbury flop? And the answer is the high jump. Question seven. The Royal Command Performance is now known as what? And the answer, the Royal Variety Show. Question eight. What is the smallest Australian state? And the answer is Tasmania. Question nine. What British banknote ceased to be legal tender in 1988? And the answer is the £1 note. And then the last question, question 10. True or false? Humans breathe in and out approximately 20,000 times a day. And the answer, true. Family news, birthdays. Kathleen Birchall, who celebrates her 102nd birthday on the 13th of August 2023. Stanley Cox, who celebrates his 100th birthday on the 8th of August 2023. Leslie Dean, who celebrates his 101st birthday on the 3rd of September 2023. Josephine Donaldson, who celebrates her 102nd birthday on the 5th of August 2023. Reginald Isles, who celebrates his 105th birthday on the 6th of August 2023. Frederick Jewett, who celebrates his 100th birthday on the 21st of August 2023. John Morton, who celebrates his 103rd birthday on the 30th of August 2023. Sydney Podd, who celebrates his 101st birthday on the 17th of August 2023. And George Simpson, who celebrates his 100th birthday on the 12th of August 2023. And all birthday information was correct at the time of going to press. Condolences. It is with deep regret that we record the deaths of the following, and we offer our heartfelt condolences. Lillian Cully, who died on the 19th of June 2023. She was the wife of Roger Cully. Kathleen Cunningham, who died on the 1st of June 2023. She was the wife of John Cunningham. Audrey Dickens, who died on the 19th of May 2023, she was the wife of Alan Dickens. and Irene Alice Mabel Pepperell, who died on the 1st of January 2023. She was the wife of William Pepperell. In memory, it is with deep regret that we record the deaths of the following members, and we offer our heartfelt condolences to their widows, widowers, families and friends. Michael Edwin Absalom of Havant, Hampshire, died on the 1st of June 2023, aged 96. He served as a Marine in the Royal Marines. Edward Joseph Barnett of Romford died on the 26th of May 2023, aged 84. He served as a private in the Royal Army Service Corps. Douglas Roy Beeston of Llanmannach Powys died on the 28th of June 2023, aged 89. He served as a Fusilier in the Royal Welsh Fusiliers. Robert Hood Brown of Bourne, Lincolnshire, died on the 9th of June 2023, aged 75. He served as a sergeant in the Royal Air Force. George Barry Clark of Dorchester, Dorset, died on the 18th of June 2023, aged 98. He served as a sub-lieutenant in the Royal Naval Reserve. Peter Ferguson Collins of Edinburgh died on the 13th of June 2023, aged 83. He served as a sapper in the Royal Engineers. Michael Joseph Doyle of Yate, Bristol, died on the 5th of June 2023, aged 89. He served as an acting boatswain in the Royal Navy. Bernard Eardley of Bury, Lancashire, died on the 24th of December 2022, aged 86. He served as a Fusilier in the Lancashire Fusiliers. Brian Edwards of Manchester died on the 1st of May 2023, aged 84. He served as a gunner in the Royal Artillery. William Gaysford of Blandford Forum, Dorset, died on the 15th of February 2023, aged 97. He served as a sergeant in the Royal Air Force. Harold Goodall of Wilmslow, Cheshire, died on the 1st of June 2023, aged 102. He served as an aircraftman in the Royal Air Force. Peter de Grey of Newcastle upon Tyne died on the 4th of June 2023, aged 82. He served as a gunner in the Royal Artillery. Geoffrey Gronow of Carmarthen Diffid died on the 15th of June 2023, aged 81. He served as a craftsman in the Royal Electrical and Mechanical Engineers. Gordon Edward Hammond of Budley Salterton, Devon, died on the 20th of June 2023, aged 91. He served as an SAC in the Royal Air Force. Ronald Harrison of Tamworth, Staffordshire, died on the 1st of June 2023, aged 88. He served as a private in the Royal Army Ordnance Corps. Michael Hawley of Dudley, West Midlands, died on the 5th of June 2023, aged 86. He served as a Lance Corporal in the Royal Signals. William Head of Stratford-upon-Avon, Warwickshire, died on the 1st of June 2023, aged 90. He served as an SAC in the Royal Air Force. Carol Elizabeth Heald of Stockton-on-Tees, Cleveland, died on the 9th of June 2023, aged 80. She served as a private in the Women's Royal Army Corps. John Brian Heaton of Colne, Lancashire, died on the 15th of June 2023, aged 89. He served as a private in the East Lancashire Regiment. Jude James of Lymington, Hampshire, died on the 1st of June 2023, aged 91. He served as a leading aircraftman in the Royal Air Force. Kay Johnston of Larbert, Stirlingshire, died on the 22nd of May 2023, aged 87. He served in the Royal Artillery. Delmy Ewan Caradog Owen Jones of Llanelli Defyd died on the 2nd of June 2023, aged 89. He served as a private in the Welsh Regiment. Derek Keaton of Lincoln died on the 3rd of June 2023, aged 85. He served as a flight sergeant in the Royal Air Force. John Allen Kelsall of Stockport, Cheshire, died on the 14th of June 2023, aged 91. He served as a Lance Corporal in the Army Catering Corps. Joseph Kemp of Sunderland died on the 3rd of June 2023, aged 97. He served as a private in the General Service Corps. Charles Knight of Widnes, Cheshire, died on the 1st of June 2023, aged 74. He served as a senior air craftsman in the Royal Air Force. Ivor Labelstier of Bath died on the 1st of July 2023, aged 93. He served as an Ordnance Artificer, 4th Class, in the Royal Navy. Vincent Lubley of Lincoln died on the 30th of June 2023, aged 88. He served as a private in the Royal Army Pay Corps. Leonard Cecil Mason of Stevenage, Hertfordshire, died on the 8th of June 2023, aged 95. He served as a corporal in the Royal Air Force. Eileen Beatrice McComb of Carrickfergus, County Antrim, died on the 6th of June 2023, aged 100. She served as a leading aircraft woman in the Women's Royal Air Force. Michael Jakeman Moore of Alfreton, Derbyshire, died on the 5th of May 2023, aged 90. He served as a craftsman in the Royal Electrical and Mechanical Engineers. Joseph Musset of Birmingham died on the 3rd of June 2023, aged 71. He served as a private in the Royal Anglian Regiment. Arthur Nash of Reading died on the 24th of June 2023, aged 91. He served as a corporal in the Royal Air Force. Elizabeth Ann Neal of Cheltenham, Gloucestershire, died on the 13th of June 2023, aged 100. She served as a corporal in the Women's Auxiliary Air Force. John Norris of Hull, East Yorkshire, died on the 1st of June 2023, aged 70. He served as an SAC in the Royal Air Force. Raymond O'Brien of Wallsend, Tyne and Wear, died on the 19th of June 2023, aged 87. He served as a private in the Royal Northumberland Fusiliers. James Walter Owen of King's Lynn, Norfolk, died on the 15th of June 2023, aged 96. He served as a signalman in the Royal Signals. David Michael Pidd of Boston, Lincolnshire, died on the 28th of November 2022, aged 85. He served as a private in the Green Howards, Alexandra, Princess of Wales, own Yorkshire Regiment. Brian Portlock of Haywood, Lancashire, died on the 1st of June 2023, aged 85. He served as a steward in the Royal Navy. Christine Mary Power of Llandudlows, Powys, died on the 3rd of April 2023, aged 102. She served as a nurse in the Royal Navy. Peter Ransford of Worksop died on the 23rd of May 2023, aged 87. He served as a private in the Royal Army Ordnance Corps. Lucy Woodhouse Seddon of Creef, Perthshire, died on the 1st of June 2023, aged 99. She served as a private in the Auxiliary Territorial Service. David James Shaw of Arundel, West Sussex, died on the 5th of June 2023, aged 89. He served as a craftsman in the Royal Electrical and Mechanical Engineers. Graham Barlow Strong of Newport, Gwent, died on the 20th of June 2023, aged 96. He served in the Royal Navy. Edward Allen Taylor of Ipswich, Suffolk, died on the 21st of June 2023, aged 84. He served as an SAC in the Royal Air Force. Keith Thompson of Saltburn-by-the-Sea, Cleveland, died on the 15th of June 2023, aged 93. He served as a private in the Royal Electrical and Mechanical Engineers. Peter Thomas Walter of Bourne, Lincolnshire, died on the 15th of June 2023, aged 88. He served as a warrant officer in the Royal Air Force. John Henson Webb of Seaton, Devon, died on the 16th of March 2023, aged 96. He served as a Lance Corporal in the Royal Hampshire Regiment. Robert Clive Welch of Staines-upon-Thames, Middlesex, died on the 8th of June 2023, aged 92. He served as a Lance Corporal in the Royal Engineers. Ronald Douglas Wells of Watford died on the 7th of June 2023, aged 91. He served as a private in the Bedfordshire and Hertfordshire Regiment. And John Wiltshire of Littlehampton, West Sussex, died on the 30th of May 2023, aged 86. He served as a private in the East Surrey Regiment. Contact details. The contact address for Blind Veterans UK is 126 Fairley Road, that's F-A-I-R-L-I-E, Fairley Road, Slough, SL14PY, and the telephone number is 0300 111 2233. The Member Support Hub Mesh telephone number is 01273 391 447. New members. Anyone who may be eligible to join Blind Veterans UK can phone our membership department on free phone 0800 389 7979. The telephone number for the Brighton Centre is 01273 307 811. The telephone number for the Llandudno Centre is 01492 868 700. The review editor can be contacted on telephone number 0300 111 2233 or by email at revieweditor, all one word, revieweditor@blindveterans.org.uk. Feedback. To give us feedback on any of our services, please email us at supporter.services@blindveterans.org.uk or telephone on 0300 111 2233. Donations. To make a donation, simply call telephone number 0300 111 2233 or visit blindveterans.org.uk/donate. To listen to a review on Alexa, the command is Alexa, ask TuneIn to play Blind Veterans UK review. If you have any problems getting it to work, please contact the Mesh helpline on 01273 391 447. A different format. If you would like your copy of review in a different format, then please contact your community support worker or Rovi for more information.
Lottery prize increase. Our top prize in the Blind Veterans UK lottery is doubling to a huge £1,000. The first draw of our new prize is on 18th of August, and we'd love it if you could take part, as well as lots of other prizes to be won each week. As a lottery player, you will have the added bonus of being automatically entered into our quarterly raffle, where you could win £15,000. You can play for just £1 a month. Each ticket you kindly purchase helps support your fellow ex-servicemen and women to rebuild their lives after sight loss. Please visit lottery.blindveterans.org.uk to play. When you play online, you'll be saving our charity's money too. If you prefer, you can also phone us on 0330 002 0285. Good luck.